Blog Talk Radio.
And every part of my body was in place. Many people died and never saw this day. So another day I live, I appreciate. Don't ever wanna act too high and mighty, cause tomorrow I can fall down on my face. Doing everything, Lord, I give you praise. And that puts a smile on my face. Lord, I thank you for sunshine.
Good evening and praise the Lord, and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have Pastor Steve Lee live here on Live Deliverance, and he's going to be bringing a powerful teaching, and the title of that teaching is Calling, Correction, Compromise, or Culture. As always, I do encourage you, please grab a pencil, paper, pen, notepad, whatever you need, and get ready to take notes as we get ready to dive into this teaching. So with that being said, Pastor Steve, you have the mic.
Amen, and thank you again, Brother Mike. Well, beloved, let's just go ahead and pray and get into the word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place and this time because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Father, I ask you to quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, beloved, this week I've had more ministry that brought this point home again. We should be impacting society, but sometimes we haven't heard how to do that. So then we can see from the temperature of societal issues that we haven't done what we should do. That's not a position of condemnation. That's just trying to heighten your expectation, because Jesus made statements and Jesus' words are the ones that really impact my thought process. It's one thing when Paul says it. It's still an inspired word. Have no issue with that. But in my mind, when Jesus himself said it, I should really know that that's guaranteed, because Jesus said things like, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Okay? So I just put that at the forefront of my thinking, and Jesus himself said, greater works than this shall you do. So then if he left instructions and information that would affect the world, and we see that he did, because right after his resurrection, we had numbers growing just astronomically, 3,000 in one day, 5,000 in one day. And the Bible says that the Lord adds to the church daily those that should be saved. Well, with that in mind, we should then come to a place where the rest that we experience as we transition unto perfection should be better. But I don't see it getting any better. Today in Atlanta, last night in Atlanta, there was an incident that happened where somebody on purpose pushed two people in front of a train, in front of a subway, in front of the mass transit system. See, that says that we're not doing our job of being salt, if you would, in preserving the earth. And those are the things that I ask questions about. What I perceive that we have done is turned off a lot of people from looking for truth. They just look for comfort. And we have to make them, we're the salt of the earth, and salt causes people to be thirsty. So then if society is not thirsty, could it be that we've lost our saltiness, that we've lost the construct of what we should be doing? I know in my generation, as I grew up, I personally felt condemned from the pulpit instead of being invited to the pulpit. Okay, I'm just going to stay there for a minute. And this is not this was not just in my church. Let me just start there. This was a societal issue, because people were leaving the presence of God without the power of God resident in their life. We can tell that it wasn't resident just as we're looking at it now, because we lived differently on Sunday than we did on Monday.
We might get halfway back around to the way we should be by Saturday night if we wasn't out partying. I mean, you've got to see that the message that Jesus left us, which is a message that is lived daily, who said the just live by faith. He didn't say the just live, visit faith on Sunday morning, Saturday night. It didn't say that. It didn't say that we would visit one day a week. It didn't say that. I'm not trying to make reference to the day of worship, because that's a whole other place that we can go to and people won't agree. I'm just making a point that we have relegated it to that one day a week. And I just don't see how that would be enough. If this is the day that the Lord has made, then we should rejoice in that day. Be it Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday. We shouldn't be living in a hole on Monday through Friday so that we can then experience God's goodness over the weekend, if you would. So somewhere we haven't heard the Holy Spirit speak to us and fulfill the scripture that says the Lord added to the church daily.
Okay.
See, and his addition was not minuscule. 5,000 people in one day, 3,000 people in one day. That's not minuscule numbers. Those numbers impacted society. It impacted society so much so that people said, you know, if you're not going to get with Jesus, don't pray. Okay, Ananias and Sapphira caused them to see that. People were scared to play with God. But now, I don't see that. I mean, like I say, there were times as I was growing up, I remember that things that were in the house of God or in a sanctified place, those things were basically protected. But not now. We've had shootings that took place. People died because they were in the house of prayer. See, so that means that somewhere there has been a disconnect between our instructions, inspiration, and execution. That's why we're going to kind of talk about calling, correction, compromise, a culture. As believers, we were asked to take a stand on the side of righteousness. And I would like for you to know that our stand does not establish, create, define righteousness. We don't have to define it. Jesus already defined it. He showed us what righteousness looked like, what righteousness does. So I'm not the one to define it. And somewhere along the line, this is how condemnation came in. We try to define righteousness and give that information to other people and then demand that they walk in it. And that turned people off. Because you will hear the statement, you know, people will say that we have become hypocrites because we don't do what we say. We even had statements that went around in our families. Mothers and fathers said this to children. It says, don't do what I do what I say. Come on, y'all. How do you expect righteousness to be understood if you're going to operate in a whole separate category, self-righteousness? See, so we got to understand our calling is what we should be functioning in. If we don't, all we're going to do is give way to whatever the culture dictates. Okay? See, our calling affords correction. We're supposed to agree with righteousness, submit to righteousness, walk in righteousness, live by righteousness, declare righteousness, and then defend that righteousness with our lifestyle. Jesus did not ask us to do something he was not doing. He was living a life, the Bible says, he only did that which he heard his father say. He only did that which he saw. He only did that which pleased the father. See, that's living the righteousness that you're talking about. And that's what he asks us to do. But we would go to the place where, okay, I mean, these are just thoughts that we heard all the time. We would go to the place where we make excuse by saying we're not perfect, even though the command was, be ye perfect, even as I am perfect. And that word perfect did not mean that you did not have things that were being worked out. It meant that you were mature, and that because you were mature, you would work those things out. If I was waiting till I get to heaven to become mature, then the world, I'm not going to see a testimony in me. All they're going to see is a person that excuses a lifestyle that doesn't measure up to the Bible. See, that's not what's supposed to be happening. We're supposed to be inviting people by our life, communication, the life, the word, the what we have communication. It is a lifestyle displayed. Let your conversation be such. That's a lifestyle displayed. Okay? So if we don't do that, then how do we expect change to happen in the earth? See, we're supposed to agree with righteousness, submit to righteousness, walk in it, live by it, declare it, and then defend it with our lifestyle. I mean, when you think about the disciples, see, the reason why we hear about all of the things that happened that ended the life of the disciples is because they defended it with their life. The Bible says in Revelation, I think it's 12, it says that they love not their life unto the death. Wow. They all came by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. I don't see that commitment today. We kind of just love our life, or we love society or the culture that we live in. We love it so much, just so that we get the concept, we love it so much, we don't change it. We don't affect it. Okay? Because if we were to let our light so shine, the Bible says that there will be conversation about our God. Let your light so shine before men that they might glorify the Father. In other words, they're going to have conversations, and the conversation is going to end up with God getting glory out of your life, out of your testimony. It should not be that Christians are hypocritical is what's being discussed. I don't see God getting glory out of that statement. But we heard that statement continually throughout the land. They're just a bunch of hypocrites in that place. That means we didn't understand what he told us to do. Our calling, according to 2 Peter, says that we're supposed to make our calling and our election sure. We're supposed to make it sure. It's not supposed to be questionable, but because of us, it's not supposed to be questioned by us. Boy, I said a mouthful right there. It's not supposed to be questionable because of us, people looking at us and saying they don't want to be what we are because they don't understand what we are, and it shouldn't be questioned by us. We're supposed to live by faith, walk in faith. The results that happen in our life should happen by faith, okay? It should not happen by accident or happenstance. It should not happen because, you know, it was just my turn. No, no, no. If we're living by faith, we will then live up to the place where it says, thou shalt decree and declare a thing, and that which you decree and declare will be established unto you. Why? Because God will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. The Bible says in Luke that it's his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to give us the whole kingdom, not portions, the whole thing. He is expecting us to get back to Genesis chapter 1 where we have dominion. We subdue, we replenish, we are fruitful, and we multiply. He's He's waiting. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that the whole earth is groaning and travailing for one thing, for the manifestation of the sons of God. Even the earth is hollering for that, travailing for that. But we haven't functioned in that in our own heart, so then we cannot display that, so that people will begin to flood into the place where the blessing and peace is. And please hear what I said. I said where the blessing. I did not say where the blessings are. I said where the blessing is. See, we got to stop trying to quantify where blessings cause me to be connected to God. I am connected to God because God is a blesser, and I have the blessing on my life. If I'm walking in the blessing, it will affect every aspect of my life. Therefore, you get the duplicity of it, the multiplication of it, but it should be singular. My God shall supply all of your, it does not have an S on that word, all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's trying to get us back to the place where we have our minds singly focused on him, that our eye is single. See? Because if I'm looking for things, that's how we ended up with trying to keep up with the Joneses. Because I wanted to have as many cars, blessings, as the Joneses had. How many houses as the Joneses had. As opposed to walking in the place where, since my God meets my need, whatever it is, he just met it. And not only will he meet it, according to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above all I can dare ask or think. But it's according to the power that works in me. What is the power that works in me? Knowing I'm connected to the blessing. See, that I'm connected to the blesser. That I don't have to be concerned about that, because if I ask in his name, I know that he hears me. And if I know that he hears me, I know I have the petitions. Now it becomes duplicitous. The petitions. Why? Because he's honored from that position. He's glorified from that position. That causes conversation for men that don't even know him to talk about his goodness, to be thirsty, if you would, for the grace of God. But most of the time, because we haven't understood our calling, okay. See, we have sometimes even brought our calling down to what we know as church membership, name on the roll, denomination affiliation. That's not our calling. Our calling is to be able to fulfill, finish, complete the work that Jesus started, the work that Jesus is instructing us to do. Go into all the world and teach men, make disciples. Show them how to observe to do what's written therein. Cause them to be able to want to do that. When we do that, we will remove all of the other things. I do know, understand, and have the revelation that there's always going to be people that reject truth. Got that. But we haven't worked with the numbers the way God was able to work with the first church in the same manner, and we have more information. Okay? Y'all just, the only thing that I mean, the only, I'll say it that way, but the primary thing that the disciples had was the revelation of the name of Jesus. That's why Peter said, silver and gold, I don't have, but such as I do have, I give it to you. And the only thing I got is in the name of, he didn't say, now I'm going to tell you about this philosophy. No. He said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And immediately the man's ankle bones received strength. And he started doing something he hadn't done before. I mean, come on, the man was womb was a lady from his mother's womb. All right? So all body parts had never functioned. He had never experienced what happens when you do all of the things he's going to do in just a second. But all of a sudden, because he said, in the name of Jesus, rise and walk, the man immediately, it says, received strength in his ankle bones, and then he started leaping, jumping, and praising God. Wait a minute, y'all. He did not know how to leap. He had not trained muscles to leap. You stand a baby up and see if the baby is going to start leaping. Not going to happen. Because the baby hasn't been trained to do that. But when the Spirit of God gets involved in the thing, you don't have to learn it. You can then experience it. Immediately, a lame man from the mother's womb had enough information and inspiration, training in muscle memory, so that his legs began to leap, run, jump, walk. Come on, y'all. Look at what happens when I decide that I'm going to give you the thing that's important. I'm going to give you truth that transforms. See? I'm going to give you an understanding of relationship with the God that is more than enough. I'm not going to it didn't say that they sat down and indoctrinated the man. It didn't even say that they spoke about how bad the man was in his life of sin. This is why you can't walk. This is why, it did not delineate that in the Bible. Acts chapter 3 didn't say that. It said all they said is that in the name of Jesus, I give you all I got. And all I got is a revelation in the name of Jesus. That if I ask anything according to his will, he said if two or three agree on earth, that's the thing that's going to be done. They had a revelation of that. And so since they released or activated that revelation, this man's ankle bones received strength and immediately. I mean, it changed that man forever. He was when we met him, all right, he didn't even have a name. All right? If you want to give him a name, the only name that he could have was Lame Man. There was a lame man. That was his whole identification, which because of that made him a beggar. He would ask for alms. So when John and Peter came to him and they gave him what they had, they changed that man. His whole life changed. Why? Because he came in contact with people that did not try to define faith by them. Because you can hear the same thing as soon as the ruler started asking, how did this whole thing happen? Peter said, wait a minute, let me explain to you. It is not by our holiness that this man is made whole. Why do you think that? It was simply that we said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And the one that you crucified, by faith in his name, is how that man is healed. See, they didn't go and hang it on the position that says, I'm affiliated with this one, I agree with that one. See, we've got to understand our calling, and our calling allows for correction. The man couldn't walk, correction came, the man was leaping, walking and praising God. Before, the words that came out of that man's mouth was, can you help me? Now the Bible says praise came out of that man's life. Glory to God. See, that's when we understand our calling. And we're supposed to make that calling sure. When we don't do that, then all we're going to do is live by the culture. And when you live by the culture, that which surrounds you, you're going to have to compromise. You're going to water down the faith and the word that you've heard. You're going to try to excuse away the things that are necessary in your life. That's what happens. That's what the culture does. Because the culture doesn't want to believe God, hear from God, and answer to God. The culture wants to do what it says in Judges. The last scripture says that every man did what was right in his own eyes. That's what the culture wants to do. And when we allow that, that simply means we were not the salt of the earth. We were not the light of the world. We were not displaying righteousness. We went around trying to define righteousness. The world does not need, okay? We're supposed to be after Acts chapter 1, verse 8, says, wait for the Holy Ghost, and you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and then you shall be my witnesses. Uh-huh. See, the world is looking for a testimony, something that has proof that it works. Witnesses. You're called to the witness stand of life. But we haven't had information and inspiration that would be able to convict people. Because when you have the power to be a witness, then you get to what Mark 16 says in verse 20. It says that he told them to go out, heal the sick. He told them to go out, lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. He told them if you drink dirty. He told them this, and then he said, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. So if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and ever, and forever, and we know he is, then he's wanting to have signs following our life, our testimony. But see, we don't understand that part of our calling. We're still trying to get the better car, the better house. If I understand I have been invited into the blessing, I'll stop looking for blessings. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life, and that you might have that life more abundantly. You want your plurality? There it is. More abundantly. You'll have more than enough. Nothing missing, nothing broken. God is wanting to display his power. All right. You can look at that and see that our witness. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, see, this is what Paul did. Paul was a great orator. Got that. Paul was educated in the highest academic structure of his day. Got that. But Paul said this. Let's listen to Paul. Brethren, chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Said, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech. I know I had a PhD. I didn't use it. It's the same thing he told the church at Philippi. And he said, I got all this stuff, but I count it as dung. He said, brethren, when I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or wisdom. Declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, do you see what Paul just said? He said, I don't want to brag on what I did. In fact, I purposed this. I determined not to know anything among you. If I'm going to talk about anything, if I'm going to display the working of a thing, it's not going to be me by all of the academic knowledge that, no, he said, I'm not going to come that way. I'm only going to know one thing. I'm only going to be intimate with one thing, and that is Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And unfortunately, caught ourselves up into situations that we have rather see culture demanding that we present documents of achievement. But Paul said, even though I have those documents, I'm throwing them away. All I want to do when I come among you is I want to demonstrate the Spirit. And as the Spirit is here, His manifestation will be power. Power to deliver. Power to heal. Power to set free. Power to restore. I'm going to know anything among you except the Spirit and the demonstration that the Spirit allows to work through me. How does he work it through me? Beloved, you cannot let something work through you if it hasn't first been worked in you. I will say it this way. God cannot do anything for you if he cannot do anything in you. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, not Christ for you, the hope of glory. If you're going to try to live by Christ for me, the hope of glory, then you're making him, if you would, a genie in a bottle. Rubber dub dub, give me what I need. No, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, because if he's in you, then you know he's for you. Come on. Because of proximity, you know he's for you because he's in you. Glory to God. See, when Christ is in you and allowed to be fully formed, which is what he prayed for, he talked to the church in Galatia, and he said, boy, y'all don't do some strange stuff. He even called them foolish. Because they kept doing crazy stuff. But he said, my prayer is that Christ will be formed or fully formed, if there's an amplifier, fully formed in you. At your veil and birth until that happens. So that you can stop being wishy-washy. So that you can stop compromising because of the culture. How we put God in little pockets and then we don't let him do what he wants to do. Paul said, I'm not going to live like that. Only thing I'm going to bring to you is I'm going to bring with me. I'm going to understand one thing, that I will be able to have the demonstration of the Spirit. Okay, see, there we go. A lot of times we will discuss and dissertate about what we think God wants to do, what we think God should do. Paul said, that is futile. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to only come and I'm going to demonstrate. Amen. He said, when I come to you, I'm not coming with enticing words, trying to tickle your ears and make you feel good about all of the things you and I both know together. Glory to God. You know, If I'm so familiar with God and can determine what he's going to do, then I've taken myself out of the and suddenly of life, haven't I? Because God does things in an and suddenly manner. In other words, I didn't see that coming. I believed that he was going to deliver, but I didn't know how. I did not know to the extent. You remember when Peter was arrested, and they had him, Jesus, just turn over there, Acts chapter, is it 12 or 13? See, this is what we're supposed to be able to live by, beloved. We're supposed to be able to understand that God wants to do this. Acts chapter 12. See, again, go back to the first church and the way they did things, by the Spirit, not by intellect. See, they were working because your calling allows for correction. Your calling allows for growth. You'll be able to do it even though you haven't seen it done before because your calling allows for growth. Wow, this is just so good. In chapter 12, now verse 1, just start there. And now about the time Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church, and he killed James the brother of John with a sword. And he saw, because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison. And delivered him to four quartorians of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto the church unto God for him. Please try to circle that for me. It says that prayer was made by the church without ceasing. Okay? Peter was in jail. And they were praying that Peter would be out of jail. Okay, that was their prayer. Verse 6. And when Herod would have brought it forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord, and suddenly, and behold, God does things in this manner all the time. Just, you don't know nothing about it. It's sovereign. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And the angel, he smote him on Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And when he said that, his chains fell off his hand. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind thy sandals. And so he did. And the angel said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him. And he did not know, wist means did not, and he wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel. But he thought it was a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, which opened unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Wait a minute, y'all. I want you to get this and suddenly stuff. Stuff that happens that I cannot explain, did not understand. He woke up by the angel, thought it was a vision. And then the angel said, get dressed and follow me. So he did that. And then they went past the first ward, and they went to the second ward. It says that the gate was in front of them, which was iron. And then the gate opened unto them of its own accord. There was no command given by the angel or by Peter. The gate opened because the gate wanted to let Peter free. The gate had a desire to say, God wants him out, I want him out. The gate agreed with God. Circumstances, come on, y'all. Circumstances agreed that it's time for you to come out. It's time for you to be free. Glory to God. That's what happened in Peter's life. It said the gate opened of its own accord. And then when Peter was come to himself, he said, wow, now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all of the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. And they were gathered together. What were they doing, people? They were praying. Remember, this prayer was being made without ceasing. And then Peter knocked on the door of the gate, and a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew that it was Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness. She was glad it was his voice. But she ran in and told how Peter stood at the gate. And they said unto her, you crazy. It can't be Peter is in jail. Aren't they making prayer without ceasing that he would be delivered? And here he is knocking on the door, and they say, no, it ain't happening. See, they didn't understand and walk in their calling. They are called to be liberators. They are called to be those that mold the culture around them to the expectation that God is a faithful God. That's their job. That's their calling. But they were saying, no, all we're supposed to do is we just supposed to pray. We just supposed to make everybody feel better and accept the circumstances. But that's not what God wanted them to do. God wanted them to effect change. You shall declare and decree a thing, and that's what should happen. You call those things that be not as though they were. That's what he was developing in them. So God knows that you didn't see this. You didn't understand this. But if you would practice the principles, he will then show you his glory. He will allow you to see the place where his glory can be revealed in circumstances that you couldn't even figure a way out. How are you going to tell me how a gate made a decision to open its own self? not just a little gate. Y'all, come on. Please go back and look at it. It was the gate to the city. So that lets you know we're not talking about a little gate. It was the gate to the point of travel for everybody that wanted to come into the city. All right, I'll do it this way. It was like the highway, which is a four-lane highway, making sure that all lanes are accessible to you in whichever direction you want to go when you need to go. Whatever the traffic jam was, they were still gone. Hallelujah. It was the gate to the city. Okay? So this wasn't no little bitty deal. That's how big your God is. And they were out there saying, no, you mad. They said, no, I'll tell you what. And she ran in and said, but she constantly affirmed that it was so. And so they said, no, you know, it's his angel. You know, and we've been praying, and his spirit is trying to make everything okay with us. And so he sent you so that we'll be okay. Because we know Aaron's about to take his head off. But Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the door, they saw him, and they were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with a hand, told them to hush, and he declared how the Lord brought him out of prison. And he said, now go and show these things. Go and declare these things. Go and testify of these things so that the people that hear it, that have been believing God to do the impossible, will know that he is truly a God that can deliver by many or by few. He knows no limits or no restraints, that there's nothing impossible with him. That's what Jesus had already told them. That with man, things are impossible. But with God, oh, nothing. You enter into a whole nother dimension, beloved. You're not dealing with things where you have to work it out. All I have to do, all I have to agree with is the righteousness that's already been established. Walk in the freedom of that. I don't walk in the bondage of what if. I walk in the assurance of my God is able. See, when you start doing that, God set it up so much so that Peter could not even mess it up. Peter was asleep. Come on, y'all. You're in jail, and you know that this is the last, you already had your last supper. So you know this is it. And you still went to sleep? Come on, y'all. That'd have been me. I'd have been shine dying all over the place. Beseeching heaven, trying to get God to move. But God had it so that he put the man to sleep. There comes a place in God where you rest and you know it's not on you, that you can just have confidence in the one that keeps you. Because the one that keeps Israel does not sleep or slumber. There was a lady one time, she was in Arizona, and there was a flood. And she was just, you know, troubling herself, beseeching heaven, and God said to her, if you're going to believe me, I'm going to do what I said because I'm faithful. And she finally heard that. I think it was the third time that she heard it. She said, okay, good. And she got up from the prayer closet and started going to bed. And God said, where are you going? She said, I'm going to sleep. He said, okay, so why are you going to sleep? He said, well, ain't no sense in both of us being up. Since you don't sleep or slumber, I'm going to bed. And then because she had the confidence in what God had told her, God delivered her supernaturally. The flood came to the city, and when it got to her steps, it went up the first step, but it didn't go up the second step. There was a barrier around her house, 3 feet of water, and it stopped at her steps. Her house, dry. The house next to it, gone, flooded. The house on the other side, flooded. Hers was completely dry. Stopped at the step. God can do what's necessary in the unsettling moment. But we have to stretch out and really understand our calling. Beloved, you were not called to failure. Again, you can go from the position of what it says in Numbers chapter 19:23, that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said it, shall he not make it good? Has he not spoken it, shall he not bring it to pass? You were not called unto defeat. You were called unto victory. And this is the victory. It didn't say this might be the victory. This is hopefully the, no, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. See, when we diligently seek him, he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So when things are not happening in your life, I would ask you, would you then begin to be more diligent in seeking him? Don't seek the things, seek him. Stop seeking after blessings. Seek after the blessing, the blesser. See, that would be where we missed it. We didn't understand our calling. We are called unto him. Glory to God. We are called unto him. We are not called unto his hands, beloved. We are called unto his heart. Glory to God. He wants to share, goodness, this is good, sir. He wants to share intimate moments with us. And intimate moments are never found in the hand of another. Intimate moments are found at the heart of another. And God's wanting to share intimate moments with you. He wants to show you great and mighty things, not just some things. He said, call unto me, Jeremiah 33:3. He said, call unto me, and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't know. I want to cause you to be intimate with me. That's what the word know means. Because when you know him, they that know their God, they shall be strong. They shall do exploits. Because they're intimate with him. That's why Jesus asked us, if you've got burdens, if you're tired of this, if you've been going through stuff, he said, what I need for you to do is to come unto me. Take my yoke upon you. Be connected to me. Don't be connected to what I can do. Be connected to me. Hear my words. Because if you hear my words and my words abide in you and you abide in my words, then you can ask what you will and it shall be given you. When you come unto him, you will take his yoke upon you and you will learn of him. You will become more intimate with him. There was a song that says we're supposed to keep our eyes on Jesus. Because when we do that, then the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Keep my heart stayed on him. Because if my mind is stayed on him, he will then keep me in perfect peace. What does that mean? That I won't have to be trying to come up with strategies to get me from here to there. I'll be in peace. Glory to God. I'll be at peace just as Jesus was at peace in the storm. When he would have passed the disciples on the water, and they looked out and saw him, and they thought it was a spirit, and they cried out for fear. And then Jesus said, be of good cheer. It is I. And then they say, okay, well, you know, if it's you, Lord, Peter, then bid me come. And Jesus said, well, it is me, so I guess I got to tell them, come on. He said, I know you haven't walked. Come on, y'all. Woo! See, this is how he was training Peter. Peter was the one that walked on the water. Then Peter was the one that was delivered supernaturally of a gate opening of his own accord. God is building on the things that Peter has already experienced by his grace. So he said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come. And Jesus said, come on. And Peter got out the boat. Glory to God. And when he got out the boat, then what happened is he began to walk in another dimension. When he left, come on, please hear this, beloved. This is right here for you. When he left the circumstances and went unto Jesus, he was able to do what he could not do before. He was able to do what man hadn't done before. It had never been recorded that man had walked on the water, but they saw Jesus walking on top of what was troubling them. He came to them on the storm, walking on the water. And then Peter asked, can you give me and understanding, revelation, inspiration to do that which I've not done before. And Jesus said, come. And Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then Peter began to look at circumstances again. Peace no longer was in his heart. He watched the winds and the waves. And the Bible says, beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. And Jesus reached down and got his hand, and immediately deliverance took place. And all of the people in the boat said, what manner, what kind of man is this? What have we been opened up to? They didn't see it coming. That was an and suddenly place of the calling that God has for you. If you go with the culture, then you're going to compromise. And when you compromise, you're going to fail. Every time, all the time. Because you have the culture, beloved, does not have answers. All the culture brings is more questions. Every time. That's all they bring. They will bring doubt, worry, unbelief, and fear. Because they didn't want to have or go after God with a pure heart. Okay, so you're going to have to understand that your calling is to be able to give testimony that will cause people to become thirsty and say, you know what, I want to serve. I want to know a God like that first, and then I want to serve a God like that. That I want to come out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Because I know the trouble you were in, and I didn't hear you complaining about the trouble. That's what I was doing every time I came to your house. But you would say, no, my God is able. And now, since I saw your God deliver you, I want to know that God. I want to be introduced to that God. Do you think he wants to know me? And our testimony will say, that's the reason he spoke through my life. So that you would see it. This is, I you can see that I've found the heart of God. And now we have conversations that you will be able to glorify the God that I'm talking about. Men will see your good works. Because my light is shining now. My light was dim before. My light was in a place where I hoped God would. But he told me to make my calling and my election sure. He didn't tell me to function in questions any longer. He says, now I want you to walk upright. Okay, that would be a person that's walking sure, wouldn't it? If a person is walking upright, he's walking in a sure manner, isn't he? And God says, I need for you to make your calling and your election sure. I need for you to remove doubts and questions in your heart and in your life. I need for you to display righteousness. I need for you to display my glory. After all, I crowned you with glory and honor. I called you unto glory and honor. Just go there and repose there. First, we're going to stay with Peter. We're just going to stay with Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We're just going to stay with Peter and let him see that. Oh, glory to God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 and following. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to as his divine power hath, past tense, given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already made you a person that's in position to enjoy good. You have already, past tense, been given all things, not some things, all things that pertain to life and godliness. I'm glad you put life first, because that will be my testimony. Because other people are looking at my testimony, they're looking at my life. God is the only one that's looking at my godliness. Through the knowledge of him, circle this, who hath called us unto glory and virtue. He didn't say he was hoping that you would find out about glory and virtue. He said he called you unto it. Whereby are given, or because of this, are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Not just great. These promises are exceeding great. And they are precious. They are the things that would cause me to be a partaker of the divine nature. A nature that does not have fear, that does not have worry, that does not have hate, that does not have misunderstanding and confusion. I've been one that can partake of a divine nature. I can't see a divine nature ever losing. Glory to God. I'll just say what I hear. See, we have a divided nature, not understanding that we've been able to partake of the divine nature. Stop being double-minded, beloved. Be focused, single. That know that you were called unto glory. You were called unto virtue. You were called unto peace. You were called unto victory. And because of this, you can now escape the corruption that's in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Why? For if these things be in you, and if they abound from you, they then will make you so that you will not be, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And he has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He starts thinking like he used to think. He starts letting culture determine what he can and cannot do. He says, no, my brother, what I need for you to do is I need for you to add to your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. I need for you to grow in the grace that's already appeared unto you, teaching you how you should live in this present world. You do not let the culture teach you. You let the word teach you. The spirit teach you. For if these things are being in you and they abound, they will make it so that you will not be barren in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. If you don't get this and understand this, if you don't grow in this, then you're robbing yourself because you didn't add to yourself. And he said, this is what will happen. You will be blind and you will be subjected to that which is close to you. You cannot see afar off. Okay, we'll do it this way. You won't see your future. All you'll see is your present. Because you cannot see afar off. How do I get out of this? I don't know how to get out of this. I don't see no way. Because you have forgotten that you were purged from your own sins. See, all that old stuff. I'm purged from my old way of thinking. Sin is having to do without a portion, to be without a portion. And so I'm so accustomed to not having what I need, I went back to that. I forgot that I was delivered from not having what I need. My God shall, not maybe, my God shall. That is absolute imperative. My God shall supply all, not some, all my needs according to his riches and glory. By Christ Jesus. He's not going to even cause my need to be met by me, my ability, my smarts. He's going to meet my need by his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. That's the stuff that's making me happy. Verse 10 says, instead of doing this, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election sure. For if you would do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Okay, he said, there will be an entrance ministered unto you so that you can exchange your place, go to a different dimension. You can go into the place where God is. It takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. You can go there. You can be the one that says, I'm just so happy that my God loves me and that he's going to show himself strong. Isn't that what it says in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 16:9? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro over the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those that have a perfect, mature heart towards him. If I continue to add to my faith, if I continue to walk by the Spirit, he says that will cause a door to be ministered unto you abundantly. And this door will take you to another dimension, the kingdom of our Lord and Savior. Okay, come on. Of our Lord and Savior. Glory to God. He's the one that causes deliverance, saving, not just the saving grace. He's going to make a gate open of his own accord in front of you. He's going to give you the ability to walk on things you've never walked on before. There will be an entrance. Come on, y'all. Ooh, look at that. He said he will be able to work stuff that's singularly effective for you. He will open and give to you an entrance. You know the interesting thing about an entrance? It must be passed through. It cannot be looked at for it to just do you any good. If there is an entrance there, you're going to have to pass through it. You're going to have to find yourself on the other side of it. If you don't pass through it, then you will never get the victory. You'll always be hoping for the victory because you never walked through the entrance. And he said, this entrance was going to be ministered unto you. Okay, come on. Over and over and over again. Please, let's read this. In verse 11, it says that if you do these things, if you make your election and your calling sure, then there will be an entrance ministered unto you abundantly. And this entrance that you have individually will continually be heard over and over. He did not say entrances. He said an entrance. So God is going to say one thing to you. Then he's going to say it to you another way, the same thing. Then he's going to say it to you again, the same thing. And you're going to say, how you said that? Well, then go through the entrance. It's going to be ministered unto you abundantly until you come out in victory. Glory to God. I need for you to see that, beloved. God doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. He allowed Peter to go through the gate that opened of his own accord. He allowed Peter to walk on the water. Peter didn't understand that he was in another dimension. He said, I'd rather be back here in the boat with my boys, thinking. Culture then brought Peter back out of the dimension of victory. And Jesus asked him immediately when he grabbed him and pulled him up. He said, Peter, wherefore did you doubt? Why did you go back, Peter? You were doing something that I instituted. You asked me if it was you, Lord, bid me come where you are. I said, come on, boy. And you say, no, I don't belong out here. I called you unto virtue. I called you unto glory. That's the same thing God is saying to you. You have no right to stay in the mess because a word has been given to you, an invitation, a calling that will allow correction in your life. But the choice is yours. God's waiting on you. Which way will you choose? Your way or God's way? Father, we just bless you and we just praise you. We thank you that there is an entrance that's ministered unto us to the dimension of victory and victories untold, because you always cause us to triumph. You give us the victory. So we thank you that because of that, Father, we will hear your voice. We will open the door, and we will allow you to come in and talk to us, suck with us, give us inspiration, revelation, information that would cause us to win, because you cause us to hear truth that would transform. Thank you, Father. We will no longer reject the truth because the culture has told us that it doesn't work that way. You're not a man that you should lie. And so we're going to allow truth to rule and to reign so that we can then rule and reign by that self-same truth. We give you praise. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior, and the redeemed of the Lord said together, amen.
Well, amen. Praise God. That's glory Pastor Steve Lee. I thank the Lord for his sermon this evening. We have some technical difficulties on our 24-hour day internet radio, and Brother Mike is out of the hosting, and I'm here while he's repairing our radio station. Air code 312, do you have anything to say before we leave? Air code 312.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. I always try to listen. I was a little late getting in this evening, but as always, Pastor Steve always gives a lot of scripture, which is just so uplifting. And I love listening to the broadcast. And I just want to say one thing. When we talked about, when he talked about Peter and all of the exploits that were in his life and things that happened to him, we must also remember that even though Peter walked on the water, he was fearful when Jesus was in the palace.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it just goes, hello?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hello?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
Right. Okay. He was fearful. So we must remember that just because we're called, and another thing, when he was in the prison, to me, when I read it, I understood that he was just resigned within himself that whatever was going to happen was just going to happen. And he wasn't up all night praying, oh, Lord, deliver me. Oh.
Right.
Okay? It wasn't like that at all. So you never know what God is doing in the background of anybody's life at any time. So you should never get discouraged, and you should just continue to pray. Because we have one hope of our calling, and God's not going to change his mind about it. And that's all I want to say. Like I said, love you guys.
Love you.
Yes, man. God bless you, man. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for listening to Pastor Steve. It's been a blessing. Amen. Amen.
Okay.
Well, I told him today, Steve, you've been averaging 463 people a week.
Amen.
This is good. And then what we have here, I'm sorry I have a cold. We also, after you get off air, Steve, more people listen to you. You may not have some people at 9 o'clock, some at work, and then they get off, and they know you're on. And this thing racks up between Monday and next Monday. You can be in here about 800, 900, 1,000 people listening. It's just been a blessing like that. And it's no other way than get it out like internet. I tell you, this is the best way to get the gospel to people's home, in their home, because you got so much. Oh boy, the church, I don't want to even start there. It's just messed all up. And God's trying to get that prepared, but I'll leave that alone and say, God bless you. And Steve, thank you. Me and Brother Mike, we have to go. I got to meet Mike, Steve, but we're trying to get an embedded code in the website because our radio station is shut down. Ma'am, God bless you. Don't forget to listen to us at livedeliverancenetradio.com tomorrow. We're going to have a teaching on the strong man of unbelief and what does the Bible says about divine healing. Divine healing, a two-segment series tomorrow on here, and we're going to see everybody tomorrow. Don't forget to sow a seed to keep us in your prayers. God bless everyone. Pastor Steve, we're going to see you Monday. Shalom to you.
It's real. Shalom.
So this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefits. Negative thoughts, pessimist calls. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Remember, principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserves a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of I got my eyes on the prize. I won't lie. Fight for my faith in a line. Here is the reason why.
Because of the price you pay,
yeah. Dreaming, that's my act now. Tell